The battle lines are now even more clearly drawn in the upcoming Detroit bankruptcy trial. Now that Detroit's pensioners have officially said yes to the grand bargain, the bond insurers who could lose billions in Detroit's bankruptcy are basically saying, it's go time. Let's fight. Nancy Kaffer is a columnist with the Detroit Free Press. Nancy, emergency manager Kevin Orr warned retirees this was not the time to vote no and hope for something better. So enough of them seem to have heard the message?
I think they did. There were a pretty overwhelming vote to approve this deal, which includes substantial cuts to pension and health care. So they seem to have figured out that this is the best deal that was available.
Break it down for us, because I know we're talking about two groups, the police and fire, and also the civilian pensioners. How did each group vote?
So the police and fire retirees, who are going to get 100% of their monthly pension checks, but a significant reduction in their annual cost of living increases, they voted 82% in favor. The general retirement pensioners, who are going to get 95.5% of their monthly pension checks, no cost of living increases going forward, and they're going to have to repay some what the city's calling excess annuity savings fund distributions. They voted 73% in favor.
All right. So it wasn't a squeaker. It was, as you say, by a healthy margin. Retirees also had a question. They voted on a separate ballot about their health care benefits.
Yes, they took a 90% reduction in benefits. So, I mean, that's substantial. Imagine if you had to pay 90% more for your health care than you're doing right now, which there's going to be some money that's going to come in to help. Some of these people will be eligible for some subsidies on the health care exchanges. Some will be eligible for Medicare or Medicaid, depending on age. So, I mean, there's going to be some things that sort of layer in to help these folks, but it's not an insignificant cut there.
No, so this isn't celebration time, because every one of these people are going to be hurt.
They are, but, you know, the thing is that the city is bankrupt. I mean, there's no money here, and they're still getting a significantly sweeter deal than a lot of creditors, which is very appropriate. They should get a better deal, because creditors, big banks, bond insurers, those guys have ways to manage risk. They charge higher insurance or interest rates. They can ensure that they have ways to manage risks in the way that you and I, regular citizens, counting on pensions and health care benefits, do not. But, you know, the reality is that this is the best deal that was available, that there's money coming in from foundations, from the state government, from the DIA itself, to secure the DIA collection and to put money into the pension system to sort of reduce the harshness of these cuts. And this is, I think folks looked at this, they did the math, and they came to a conclusion that they're certainly not happy about, but realize is the best case scenario.
But in the other corner, waving their legal filings like swords, we have especially the two big bond insurers, Syncora and Financial Guarantee Insurance Company, FGIC. And now that the vote is in from the pensioners, it seems that they have really stiffened in their resolve to fight this thing right to the bitter end.
Yeah, they are getting, if they're taking a really significant cut, Syncora and FGIC, as some call them apparently, the city's offering to pay 0 to 10% on the $1.4 billion that they're owed. So it's a pretty steep cut, and they're going to fight tooth and nail. Those are the groups all along that have been pushing for a sale of DIA art, that asked at one point for the court to allow them to take art out of the DIA to have it appraised. These are people who are very committed to fighting this plan.
Nancy, is there any chance, or are you hearing anything that leads us to think that there could be a chance of settling with Syncora and FGIC before the August 14th trial begins?
Gosh, at this point, I wouldn't even want to say. They've done some pretty pretty dramatic stuff in this. You know, it's really funny to say that a bankruptcy has been dramatic, filled with hairpin twists and turns, but this one really has. I mean, at one point, the city, in a court filing, accused Syncora of orchestrating a scorched earth litigation strategy. They've seemed to have, you know, they have very outspokenly advocated for the sale of DIA artwork. They've suggested that perhaps it's not, you know, appropriate for the city to continue to have such a valuable collection when they're deeply in debt, which I think is something most residents of our region would really protest.
Nancy, do bankruptcy experts have any feel about the chances of these bond insurers scuttling the grand bargain in the trial based on the claims that they're not being treated fairly?
So here's where it gets complicated. There's no creditors in a municipal bankruptcy, it's different from personal or corporate bankruptcies because there's no such thing as forced liquidation in municipal bankruptcy. They cannot ask the judge, and the judge cannot force the city to sell artwork or any other asset. They can refuse to sign off on a deal that does not meet their requirements. That's how they can sort of hold things up and become sort of a wrench in the works of the bankruptcy exiting. I don't know how that's all going to play out. There reaches a point when certain classes of creditors have approved various portions of the deal that the judge can cram down. The technical term is cram down a settlement onto even folks who have rejected it. I'm not sure if we've hit that threshold for a cram down, but it's certainly something that's all going to play out in this hearing that's going to start on August 14th, where the judge and with the assistance of a host of experts will decide whether or not this whole settlement plan is feasible, legal, and viable.
And that's what it takes to get the city out of bankruptcy in what would be a pretty astonishing record time.
It really, really is. Some cities or counties that have filed for bankruptcy under Chapter 9 have taken just this long to be deemed eligible for bankruptcy. And so the fact that they're sticking to this, I was very skeptical of this 18-month timeline when it was first announced, because when you look at Jefferson County, Alabama, or Pritchard, Alabama, or the cities in California, Stockton, that have had municipal bankruptcies, it's taken them years and years, like I said, first of all, to even be deemed eligible for bankruptcy and then the negotiations process. But we have a couple of advantages here. A lot of folks have protested the involvement of emergency manager Kevin Orr and his former law firm, Jones Day, that's been representing the city, saying that there's conflicts of interest, that we're giving, you know, giant law firms city money to do this work. But the fact is, these are internationally qualified firms, an internationally qualified firm and an internationally qualified bankruptcy attorney. We have really probably the best representation money can buy in this case, and I think we're seeing that at the speed at which things are happening. This is something where we needed top-of-the-line talent, because I got to tell you, these giant banks, these bond insurers, they're not going to bring, you know, a local attorney to the table. They're bringing internationally qualified people, and we have to meet, you know, their level of firepower with this equivalent level. And I think that that's one of the things we're seeing at how quickly things are moving, is the professional resources that the city's been able to bring to the table here.
Nancy Kaffer, columnist with the Detroit Free Press. As always, a pleasure. Thank you so much, Nancy.
Thank you, Cindy.